Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 80 for the week of September 21st, 2020. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. You can also download a PowerPoint presentation that includes images of those same charts that you can use in your own presentations. Okay, let's get right to the data and talk about the spot market. So we saw the strongest week-over-week gain in flatbed spot loads since May, and that powered the ratio of loads to trucks in the truckstop.com system during the week ended September 18th, that was week 37, to its sixth record in the past 7 weeks. Dry van and refrigerated loads also were stronger than in the prior week, although neither segment matched its week 35 record volume. Keep in mind that the previous week, week 36, included the Labor Day holiday, so volumes in the latest week were obviously going to be higher than that artificially low week 36. Okay, so total spot load postings rose 23%, and weekly volume is the strongest ever except for basically most of June of 2018. Loads were about 67% higher than the same week last year, and very close to double the five-year average. The holiday had resulted in sharply lower truck postings in week 36. So when you combine that weak comparison week and the strong rates that, of course, we're seeing in the market, we did have an increase in capacity week over week, and it was the largest one since January. However, the increase in truck postings did not keep pace with the increase in loads, so the market demand index, which is that ratio of load postings to truck postings in the truckstop.com system that I mentioned earlier, rose to the sixth record high in 7 weeks, as I mentioned. Dry van loads rose more than 22% from the prior week, but volume fell about 2% short of the weekly record that it set during week 35. Loads in week 37 were nearly 93% higher than the same week last year and nearly double the five-year average. Truck postings were up nearly 12%, and that's the strongest in 8 weeks. But of course, we had stronger growth in loads, and that resulted in the sixth record dry van MDI in 7 weeks. Refrigerated posted the weakest volume gain among the key segments, but it was still up 12% after dropping more than 21% during the holiday week. Refrigerated volume was more than 11% below the week 35 record, but it was still the strongest or the third strongest volume of this year. Loads in week 37 were about 50% higher than the same week in 2019 and about 64% above the five-year average. The increase in truck loadings or truck postings was far smaller than what we saw in the increase in loads. So the refrigerated market demand index rose, but it fell well short of the week 35 record. Flatbed spot loadings jumped more than 26% from the prior week to its highest level since June of 2018. Load postings were more than 60% higher than last year and slightly more than double the five-year average. Flatbed truck postings rose by the most since mid-May, But the 17.5% increase lagged the increase in load volume, so the flatbed MDI rose to its highest level since 2018. The broker-posted rate per mile, excluding fuel surcharges, was basically unchanged for the second straight week. Rates are nearly 27% above the same week last year. Dry-van rates were nearly 43% above the same 2019 week. Refrigerated rates were about 27% higher than a year ago, and flatbed rates are up about 23%. Okay, let's talk about petroleum and fuel just quickly. Crude prices have firmed a little over the past week. The price of a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude is back to just about $40 a barrel, and there is no sign of any kind of surge at this point. Meanwhile, diesel prices fell 1.8 cents to $2.40.8 a gallon for the week ended September 21st. Okay, moving on. The unemployment situation improved slightly in the latest week. Seasonally adjusted initial claims were down slightly to 860,000 for the week ended September 12th, the Labor Department said. Continued claims showed a stronger improvement, falling by more than 900,000 to 12.6 million for the week ended September 5th. As you will recall from past podcasts, the continued claims data lags by a week. The separate federally funded programs for non-payroll workers and for workers who have exhausted regular state program benefits stand at 14.5 million and 1.5 million, respectively. Combining all the programs, the latest data available shows more than 28.3 million Americans receiving unemployment benefits on an unadjusted basis. Meanwhile, funding for the Lost Wages Assistance Program, which is the stopgap federal program that has been providing $300 a week to people receiving unemployment benefits since the end of July, is quite close to exhausting its $44 billion in funding. Washington does not appear close to further legislation, and the sudden vacancy on the U.S. Supreme Court probably has complicated the politics of that even further. Meanwhile, it is unclear whether the Trump administration will be able to identify any further funds to maintain some level of federal support in the absence of legislation. Okay, let's tackle the monthly economic indicators that we have seen over the past week. The U.S. economy's rebound from the pandemic clearly is stabilizing as growth in key industrial and consumer indicators was slower in August month over month, and residential construction figures were actually weaker. Industrial production rose 0.4% in August from July, although that growth was held down by a 2.5% drop in mining output that resulted, at least in part, from reduced oil and gas extraction and well drilling that was a fallout from Hurricane Laura and Tropical Storm Marco. Utilities output was down 0.4%, the Federal Reserve said. The Industrial Production Index remains 7.3% below its pre-pandemic level in February. So as with manufacturing, which we'll talk about momentarily, we're seeing the industrial sector not recovered back to where we were, as opposed to the consumer sector, which at this point has pretty much fully recovered, at least on the sales side of that equation. Okay, manufacturing output was up 1%. That's the smallest increase since the contraction in March and April. The weakest component of manufacturing was durables output, which was up just 0.7%. And basically what happened there is that we saw a decline of nearly 4% in automotive parts and vehicles, offsetting gains elsewhere. Manufacturing output remains 6.7% below February. Automotive output had exceeded February levels in July, but now stands at 1.5% below February. Meanwhile, a slowing in retail sales that began in July continued in August. Total retail and food service sales were up 0.6% month over month, but a 4.7% increase in sales for restaurants and bars greatly offset what was very weak growth in retail trade. Retail trade was basically flat at an increase of just 0.1%. However, compared to February, retail and food service sales are up 1.9%, and retail is up 4.5%, and while restaurants and bars are still down more than 16%. The largest gains in retail were in clothing, about 3%, and furniture and home furnishings, which were up about 2%. Compared to February, clothing store sales are still down about 20%, but furniture store sales are actually up slightly, about 1%. Aside from clothing, the biggest losers compared to February are gasoline stations and department stores, which each are down nearly 15%. The biggest gainers since February are non-store retail, up more than 20%, and building materials and garden supplies dealers, up about 12%. Food and beverage and the category known as sporting goods, hobby, musical instrument, and bookstores each are up more than 10% since February. With home sales soaring and mortgage rates very low, residential construction had been recovering quite strongly, but housing starts and permits weakened in August, although not by a whole lot. Housing starts fell 5.1% from July and are down nearly 10% from February. However, starts are up nearly 3% year over year, which just shows how strong the sector had become right before the pandemic. Permits authorized for future home construction declined nearly 1% in August, but they were up 2.2% from February and are basically flat year over year. Finally, today, let's revisit data on inventories relative to sales. As we talked about last week, we traditionally haven't worried very much about inventories to sales ratios until we got the final report from the Census Bureau. However, given the market volatility and the critical importance of inventories in freight demand these days, we had calculated for the last podcast the July ratios based on advanced data. We did get the official Census Bureau report on inventories and sales in the supply chain last week, and I was pleased to see that that report confirmed the preliminary figures that I discussed last week. Retail inventories were still extraordinarily lean in July. Wholesale inventories relative to sales have eased to a normal range, about where they have been since the pull forward of Chinese imports in late 2018. But manufacturing inventories compared to sales are still at about the highest level since the Great Recession. If we dig a little deeper into the retail inventories, we find that inventories in all major sectors except for clothing stores remain historically lean, with most seeing only slight increases in that ratio from June. And in fact, furniture and home furnishing stores and department stores inventories were a bit lower relative to sales in July than they were in June. With retail sales slowing and indication of strong imports, we would anticipate higher inventories to sales ratios in August and beyond. However, it could take several months for inventories to return to comfortable level for retailers and non-store retailers, which I guess are retailers, especially considering that we have Black Friday and Cyber Monday just barely more than 2 months away. So that's it for this week's podcast. Let's recap. Spot market volume rebounded in the week after the Labor Day week. Crude prices rise back to about $40 a barrel. Diesel prices declined by nearly 2 cents. First-time unemployment claims eased slightly to 860,000. Continued claims under state programs fell by nearly 1 million to 12.6 million. Continued claims under federally funded programs were little changed at 16 million. Industrial production and manufacturing output growth weakened in August. Retail sales growth slowed sharply in August. Housing starts declined for the first time since April, and retail inventories remain extraordinarily lean. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update. Episode 80 for the week of September 21st, 2020. As always, you can download PDF and PowerPoint files accompanying this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.